Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Inside information on your teams, honest opinion, and the biggest names in sports. It's time, Las Vegas, for the Playmakers.
Back in the saddle again on a Wednesday. Paul Leihander here, 6.345 feet away, distantly social, and socially distant is Lindsey Brown.
Greetings and salutations, friends. How are you today, Paulito?
I'm all right, considering that we should be talking about who the Golden Knights should be playing in the next round of the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs.
So you're just going to, you know, roll right over them, Paul. I thought hockey was just kind of automatic. Everything's played on the sheet of paper and all the stats, right?
It's true, and I'm actually disturbed by something that actually makes me scratch my head and make me think a little bit, too.
What's that?
Should I give it to you now or should we wait?
Maybe we should wait because if it's hockey related,
it's
as you say,
hockey,
let's...
But it's not hockey related. Oh. It's kind of hockey related, but it's not.
Okay. Well, I don't know then. It's up to you.
Should I just drop
you're
it on you now?
You are the BM, so it's your judgment
gonna,
we go by.
I'm just going to drop it on you right now.
Okay,
so there's a man in Lincoln, Nebraska, and this just got me thinking too. He's asking city council leaders for one thing, to remove boneless chicken wings from menus across the city. Andrew Christensen pitched the idea during the public comment section of the city council meeting. He says calling the food a boneless chicken wing is a lie because it's really a chicken tender.
Correct. It's false advertising to say that it is a wing when it's actually part of the chicken breast. That, I think that was part of his argument as well.
Yeah.
What's his name again?
Andrew Christensen.
Cheers to you, Andrew. Honestly, fighting the good fight.
So you're okay with this. You would suggest that if there is a menu with chicken wings on it, that if they advertise boneless chicken wings, that is actually incorrect.
I'm here to support people who are taking stands for what they believe in. That's what I am for. And honestly, it's when I'm sure everybody has seen this video on Twitter or social media. Otherwise, you're like, considering all of the big time things that we're all dealing with and a few of those, moments that people have joined other city council, you know, meetings and then talked about other things in very, you know, spirited ways. I think it was just like the perfect little comedic break that I think we all needed
sure.
on this Wednesday.
He offered alternative names, apparently.
He
too.
Did.
These are great.
Please list them off because I probably stopped the video by then.
Wet tenders.
I'm going to say no. I'm going to say hard okay. pass on that one. Wet tenders.
Right.
Nope.
How about saucy nugs?
I like that one. Saucy nugs. I like that one.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah.
His last one was trash. Let's get you the five biggest stories of the afternoon.
It's your daily check down, powered by Radio.com Sports. Number one.
All right, well, the Tampa Bay Rays of the AL East and the New York Yankees of the American League East had themselves a little benches clearing talking. That's pretty much what it was. I mean, nobody.
Why?
Because nobody.
Because
throws
they're such
punches.
Close friends.
Well, they don't. No one gets to throw punches, so it was kind of like a heated argument up close. I suppose that's what they are now.
Why were they all so heated and had to have up close discussions?
Aroldis Chapman decided to throw. Well, maybe, but it was maybe through at him, maybe not. 100 mile an hour fastball near the head of Michael Brousseau, who ended up striking out in the at bat. Because of the bench clearing heated argument, again, nobody fights in Major League Baseball.
The non-dual.
Correct. Major League Baseball handed out punishments for the benches clearing thing. Aroldis Chapman got 3-game suspension. Aaron Boone and Kevin Cash, the managers of both teams, were suspended for each 1 game. The Rays are up 3.5 games. This is quite the rivalry, I guess.
Oh, they spend a lot of time playing one another as interdivision rivals, and that's even more so true this year in the shortened season that's mostly regionalized. And but no one was actually hit, huh?
Nobody was hit.
So we're good at handing out suspensions for things that nobody did, technically. But we're not going to hand out any suspensions for things that people actually... It's weird how this works.
Joe Kelly made faces at a guy.
Exactly.
Got 8 games.
Exactly. I don't understand this. I understand that... I guess I understand the fact that when you're throwing at somebody's head, that's a huge safety thing.
Correct.
Like, you could kill someone.
Yes, clearly.
But Major League Baseball, come on. Come on. Come on.
It's the crazy arbitration. But again, they're moving forward. At least they're trying to. The manager of the Rays says that somebody has to be accountable for it. The last thing I'll say is I have a whole damn stable full of guys that throw 98 miles per hour.
This won't be revisited. Nope. There's no review for this midterm whatsoever.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Just weird. But these two teams have history.
Yes, they do.
They've exchanged the so-called purpose pitches between each other before. So, and Chapman, to honestly, probably not being really kind of, you know, kind of coy about it. He kind of says he called the suspension a little harsh.
A little harsh.
He claimed it was unintentional last night.
Uh-huh.
But you know what? That penalty was a little harsh. Dude, you threw at the guy.
Yes. That's at the head. Maybe that's where the harshness comes in. And like I said, you need to protect that. Somebody could die. But still, it just is a very wacky and weird baseball season this year in Major League Baseball.
So there's the penalties for the benches clearing whatever it was last night. And that's where we stand.
Number 2.
All right. Alvin Kamara is not leaving NOLA.
What?
I know. He's not. He came back to practice today. This lasted all of like 18 hours. Apparently, he had an epidural shot in his back. He was out of practice for a few days.
I would think he would be. You can't walk after those epidurals.
And while having the shot, they were also talking about his contract as well. He and Sean Payton had a nice chat today, cleared the air, and he's back at practice, saying cooler heads prevailed. This according to Ian Rappaport.
So you're saying we shouldn't make decisions when we're in an emotional state of mind.
I don't know, just unneeded drama of drama. There's video of him taking handoffs. So I'm like,
look at him go through those big pads. It's boom.
It's the last year of his rookie contract. So, you know, we'll see. But Kamara's not going anywhere. I mean, open to trading. Well, apparently not. So, open
yeah,
to
you're all
again.
In and we'll trade Alvin Kamara. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just seemed. Yeah. Anyway, he's not going anywhere. He had a shot. He took a shot in his back. They're going to extend him. At least that's what they're working on right now. That's the rumor. And, you know, probably get some Joe Mixon money.
Yeah, I'm sure Houdat Nation is very excited and happy that he is staying there because he's slightly popular in that fan base because he's done a lot of great things in his time with them so far.
Yeah, they like him.
Yep.
Number 3.
Iowa State. Yeah, we're not going to do it. We tried. Playing chicken with the Rona.
This is also like 24 hours old, right? Because we're already talking about the Cyclones.
This is Monday.
Monday.
They were going to allow 25,000 people in the stands as they took on Louisiana. Not even Louisiana State University. It was just Louisiana.
Just the L.
They were expecting 25,000 for that one. Iowa State says, no, we're not going to do it.
What changed their minds.
They've been named a hotspot.
Oh, that would probably definitely change some minds. Perhaps what happened with the Big Ten in the last couple of days. Those developments, I'm sure, have some sort of effect, or at least by association. But, you know, we've talked about how in some towns that is the lifeblood and how important it is to have college football and have that
Correct.
As part of the economy and how ridiculously sad it is. But, you know, I don't know. There's no winners in this.
No,
I don't think.
Not really. They're holding in-person classes there. And they're not going to go online only, so maybe they could let students in to go watch games because
sure.
student body's not 25,000. But yeah, we're no fans.
Knowing how those guys party at Iowa State, I don't know.
Watch it on the TVs, I guess.
This is true.
So no fans of the opener. We'll see if they even have anybody, you know, down the road, it is what it is.
It is what it is.
Number four.
It sucks.
It does suck. It's no fun. It's no fun having all this bad news all the time, Paul.
All right, let's have some good news then.
Okay.
The NBA is creating drama on the court, as in shooting hoops and creating storylines. Last night's game between the Denver Nuggets and the Utah Jazz went down to the wire. 80-78 was the final. So much that Donovan Mitchell, who's going to apparently assign a rookie extension of $170 million.
Oh, he's going to take that Supermax to the bank directly?
Yes, he will, but the Jazz have a good young nucleus, and they're ready to go. Denver's moving on in the playoffs with Jamal Murray, who's been dropping 50 points like I drop milkshakes from In-N-Out.
Wasn't Utah up 3-1 in that series?
Yes, they were.
Woofers.
Yeah.
I mean, that's quite the collapse, but, you know, when a team of destiny just suddenly grabs onto something, and I think Donovan Mitchell, you know, just considering how much that team has gone through specifically, and him and Rudy Gobert and stuff, his comments post game of putting things in perspective of what it feels like to be eliminated in game 7 after being up 3-1 in like the larger context of society, nothing but fandom and maturity from him. Like,
so great. A game 7 last night, we have another game 7 tonight. Rockets and Thunder, which is basically kind of the Chris Paul redemption tour, because he was traded for Russell Westbrook, thinking that Houston was getting the better end of that deal.
The series of musical Texases.
Yeah, so Westbrook is back. Chris Paul is playing incredibly clutch, and this is... Game 7s are special.
They are. Anything could happen. Anything could happen. And just think, Chris Paul, isn't he the head representative of the NBAPA as well?
Yes.
So, and we all know where most of the betting was going to be on between those two teams. So an upset by Oklahoma City over the Houston Rockets would be humongous at this point.
CP3 is going to be 36 years old next season. He is playing savvy veteran basketball right now. Mm-hmm. Kind of like Steve Nash towards the end of his kind of stellar run at point guard as well. CP3 is such a creator and has a lot more ball control and is a better passer than Nash was.
Yeah, yeah. And speaking of renewed rivalries that have been, you know, a part of a narrative for a long time, you know, James Harden went to Houston from Oklahoma City years ago. Russell Westbrook, all of that plays into it. So, who knows? I might actually catch a few minutes of this game tonight.
Well, it starts at 6, in case you're wondering.
I'm intrigued. Thank you for telling me. I appreciate you.
Very welcome. So, Game 7 battle, Rockets and Thunder.
Thunder!
Number 5.
Thunder, like the thunder.
Lightning!
And the thunder. Ha. Just a couple of days ago, on Friday, the Major League Baseball honored Jackie Robinson as every player wore the number 42. This one's in a little simpler context, not league-wide, but for the first time ever, and it's been clamored for, that the Pittsburgh Pirates on September the 9th will wear Roberto Clemente's number 21. Clemente, who is one of kind of Pittsburgh's most favorite sons more than anything else, you know, died in a plane crash. I remember reading this book as a kid, learning about Roberto Clemente and how he was on humanitarian mission to deliver like earthquake supplies and went down in a plane crash. And this is like in this storybook as a kid that I'm flipping through. And I'm like, right. Wow, this is amazing. And I'm like, okay, I needed to get to know more about this guy.
Well, in 1972, I'm guessing him being from Puerto Rico, and we know that how big, you know, Latin America and specifically Puerto Rico has become in Major League Baseball. I'm guessing he was one of the first bigger success stories and obviously meant a lot to that franchise, to his people. And the tragedy of his death makes sense why the honor is bestowed. It's late, if anything, but at least it's getting there, right?
Yeah, it's again in Pittsburgh. No one's really worn 21, just a handful of guys since Clemente's death. And he had 3,000 hits, you know, a career cut short. No doubt about it. You know, he was an active player still as this was going on, but it's fantastic. I really think it's great. It's a guy who, you know, celebrated the game and was certainly bigger than the game of baseball, and a long-deserved honor for him.
Yeah, so. Did things the right way on the field and away from the field.
So it's cool. Roberto Clemente, the Pirates will all wear number 21 for him on Wednesday, September the 9th. So take a look at that. All right, there's your five biggest stories of the afternoon, powered by Radio.com Sports. All right, coming up next, it was a late night for a lot of us. Many of you, many Golden Knights fans, y'all took a lot of shots on social media for sure. But now, there are no excuses for your Vegas Golden Knights.
You found the Playmakers on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
She's Lindsey Brown. I'm Paul Iander. Thanks for hanging out with us on this Wednesday afternoon. Do want to remind you of Dodgers baseball this afternoon at 5:30 pregame, 6:40 first pitch for the Dodgers, who doubled up the cubic zirconia backs last night, 6-3.
Yes, they have sold all their diamonds. That was incredibly true last night as well.
So Arizona revisits the Dodgers tonight. Walker Buehler is back after dealing with a blister on his finger.
Ouchie.
You know, it's hard to pitch.
It is. It's one of those small injuries that are slightly, you know, inhibitive to players in that sport.
Right. He did want to play through it, but they said, do we have enough pitching depth?
Let's not make this a huge problem. Let's just give you a couple days. We'll put a Band-Aid on it. We'll rest and ready to go. Right. Yay.
So Buehler's going to get the start tonight for the Dodgers. Again, 5:30 pregame, 6:40 first pitch from Chavez Ravine. You can imagine in southern British Columbia right now that every dog, cat, or goldfish that is being taken home will probably either have the name of Thatcher or Demko.
Well, let's not get too ahead of ourselves before we name all of our firstborns after the young goaltender.
Animals. I'm just saying animals. Goldfish, you know, they only
live. Those are children too, Paul.
They only live a couple of days, let's be honest.
What kind of goldfish, you know, hygiene are you doing?
You go to the county fairs and things like that. You get the goldfish, throw the rings and the darts and whatnot.
I had betta fish when I was younger. I like they were
those
pretty.
Big betta fish.
Can't
like,
put them in the same tank,
eat
though.
Other fish.
They fight. They
right.
do.
So, yeah, anyway. Thatcher Demko decided to take pretty much every great shot, good shot, kind of decent shot from the Golden Knights last night and stopped every one of them but one. But he only needed to stop one because his Canucks decided to tip in two. And now we are talking about a game six for the Vegas Golden Knights and Vancouver Canucks, of which Vancouver Sports Radio today has made making all kinds of crazy hay about life in the Vancouver locker room right
and,
now.
And there is life in that locker room based off of that performance from Thatcher Demko yesterday. That was his first playoff start. He's 24 years old, and he turned in one of the greatest goaltending performances ever in a Canucks uniform, like in a historical context, because just in the way that that game was unfolding, especially through the first couple periods and how inept the Canucks looked to even, you know, get it out of their own zone, let alone have some sustained pressure in the Golden Knights zone. It was just, he turned in, you know, an unbelievable performance, getting 42 of 43 saves and a 9.77 save percentage. And, you know, once the Golden Knights got the lead, and usually that's a good thing, but you know what? The Canucks came back 24 seconds immediately after.
Yeah, NBA shot clock later.
Exactly. And then after Pettersson scored, I just kind of thought to myself, I'm like, uh-oh, all you got to do is clog up the middle and hope that he keeps doing what he's doing and he's already vibing. And that's exactly what happened. And the Golden Knights were lulled to sleep last night in last night's contest. And that's why it is a whole new series. And they better take care of business in game six, because trust me, you do not want to get into game seven on a back-to-back situation as well, Paul. So there's a lot on the line tomorrow night.
The excuses are gone for the Vegas Golden Knights. There's no more, well, you know, it's pressure. There's no more, hey, it's a rookie goalie playing out of his mind. You know, Demko did play quite a bit during the regular season and, you know, had time in between.
Regular season was 6 months ago,
right,
Paul.
But he did have time in the pipes, and it's not like, you know, the muscle memory is still going to be there. He just happened to turn a lights out performance, and there wasn't anything spectacular. I'll be honest with you. It wasn't like he wasn't like having to dive across and cover up a million, you know. I think it was just one of those just kind of really super solid games that you get from a goaltender in a pressure situation, and he was able to absorb it and made it look pretty easy.
And he did make it look easy, because he was on his angles. And like I was kind of mentioning yesterday when we were kind of scouting him in the limited, you know, tape that I was looking at, is that he likes to play low. His legs are really far apart. I should say he keeps his edges really far apart, and he's gets down quick, so he's able to get compact. And that's the thing. The Golden Knights weren't exactly, they had some grade A scoring chances, but for the most part, they were keeping the outside. They were throwing it, you know, right into the jersey crest, right into the logo. And when you're doing that, even if it pops down, or you bumble it a little bit, which he did a couple of times, he was right on top of it to smother and cover it and get the whistle. And then even when the Golden Knights try to do some extracurriculars after the fact, maybe give him a little tip of the stick, try to push him, get him a little bit off the rhythm, the Vancouver Canucks backed up and said, you know what, you don't touch our goaltender, because he's the only one doing it with anything worth a damn out here. So the least we could do is protect him if you happen to so much as give him a glance the wrong way and in the wrong direction. And when you have that type of let everybody get on my back goaltending performance, it's going to be really tough to beat. And it's really going to create a lot of questions going into tomorrow night, because clearly Markstrom played a couple days ago. We don't know how banged up he is. But now you're kind of like, well, even if he's any percentage banged up, do you maybe keep going with the kid? But I'm not really sure. But either way, the Vancouver Canucks have new life. Vancouver Canucks can win this series still, and they could do it with Thatcher Demko in the net, especially if the Golden Knights aren't able to shake themselves from the psychological kind of conundrum that they've worked themselves into in this current point in time.
It took a near Herculean effort for Shea Theodore's goal.
I mean, it was
one of those special goals that you don't see very often. It just, at any point during the season, it's one of those highlight top 10 kind of plays that usually is either the number two or the number one, depending on if a dog catches a frisbee that night. It was a solo effort that cracked the glass.
Yep.
Finally got them on the board. And I was like, man, if he's going to make a play like that, mm-hmm. what is in store for the rest of this night? And Demko surprised everybody. I mean, absolutely surprised everybody. And he talks about, well, you just, you know, you rely on the work that you put in. It's just another day. It's all about preparation, Paul. Truth. He was clearly prepared for what the Knights were going to do, because it was literally the dollar shooting gallery at the fair. And he took every shot. Again,
what do we always talk about, Paul?
Shea Theodore's goal was amazing.
It was amazing. And they said on the broadcast last night, that might be the prettiest goal of the playoffs. That's where it just seems like you're moving at two times the speed everybody else is. And he literally undressed four Canucks. The only reason why the fifth one wasn't undressed, because Shea said, I shall spare you. You shall stay on the weak side, and I will score on the other side. That's the only reason. But you're absolutely right. That's the thing. That wasn't like the Golden Knights were just starting to get going. They were already pouring a ton of shots on, had so much sustained, you know, in zone pressure in the Canucks zone, and it's just nothing was going through. And this kind of thought starts going through your head, being like, well, somebody's gonna break the thing, somebody's gonna break the ice, just play the percentages. But that's the thing, you can't. That's not how hockey works. So Shea does that, and we talked about it yesterday. Expect a big-time push if the Golden Knights end up getting on the board first, because the longer that you stay in that deficit place, the longer you have to chase, the more energy you have to expend. And guess what the Canucks did? They went 24 seconds off the clock, and they scored almost equally as pretty in terms of just the way that the play developed. I mean, it's a one-man effort with Shea, but the goal that Brock Besser scored was gorgeous, a give-and-go, and caught the Golden Knights sleeping. And then, especially because it's Brock Besser, considering how quiet he has been throughout this series, at least on the score sheet, so you're getting the wrong guys going at the wrong time. And there's life. And so it wasn't for a lack of effort. Sometimes those just happen. It's very reminiscent of that game against Corey Crawford and the Chicago Blackhawks, where it just seemed like no matter what you did, it was just not going to be your night. And especially with how Vancouver responded physically, like they blocked more shots. They out hit the Golden Knights. They had more takeaways. You know, they took fewer penalties. I mean, Zach Whitecloud was a rag doll last night. God knows how many bruises he accumulated, goodness. Legitimately. And it's just, it was one of those games. And so this is where that short-term memory has to come in, where you forget and you move on, but you take the lessons that you learned, because the Golden Knights are going to have to find a way to win that game six, and the Vancouver Canucks are not going to be able to win the game that they did in game five and take that over to game six too. But they're just finding any sort of way to win. And that's the benefit of being the underdog, or being the one that's chasing.
Paul Lindsay, Playmakers here on this Wednesday afternoon for the Canucks. They came out so flat in that first period, and they clearly did not have a complete game. The complete game was done by Demko. The rest
Correct.
Of the team, it took them a period and a half to get going. But once they got going, they got really comfortable. And putting the Knights in a chase situation right now, and we've talked about how mm-hmm. well the Knights have been in the third period.
That's like, their period in the playoffs.
Nobody thought, and I didn't think, when they pulled Leonard out of net with six on four, I was like, they're going to score. There was no reason for me not to think that they were going to score at that point.
Exactly. The same mindset we just talked about.
Right. There really wasn't going to be that way. And Vancouver kind of tightened everything up and did what they needed to do. They're not going to get away with it in a game six.
No.
Clearly. No. I mean, I just don't see it happening. I mean, Lightning can strike twice. I get that. But I just don't see that happening to where they came. I mean, it was... they were still single-digit shots.
Yeah, but they were playing the game the right way in the defensive zone by blocking shots, by grinding things up, by keeping the Golden Knights to the outside, because you're not going to win this arms race if you're the Vancouver Canucks against the Golden Knights. We've all learned that by now, and especially now that we've had a few games, and so you have to figure out just how to sustain and how to get them to run out their energy. We do it with kids all the time. Go run outside. Why? Because it's fun in games. No, it's because you want energy down so you can get them to bed on time, right? So same type of mentality here. And then when you have penalties being taken by the Golden Knights where it's slashing, tripping, slashing, hooking. Yeah, those are all lazy and unnecessary penalties.
Obvious stuff, yeah.
Exactly. Those are the penalties that you take because you're either getting overly frustrated and overly emotional, or you're not moving your feet as effectively as you should, and you're giving opportunities in offense and opportunities for them to rest some of their top guys and those legs in those power play opportunities, because it's just about survival at this point. Because if they want to keep that low scoring type of game, that's going to favor the Vancouver Canucks a heck of a lot more than the Golden Knights, because the Golden Knights, we've seen, even when they're in a full building in T-Mobile, how tough it is for them to generate their own momentum. And that's why the bench point we made yesterday in terms of the energy and stuff. But there are wrong ways to expend energies. Like I said, with the penalties, with taking the shots that you did, they were the Canucks were willing to get dirty and go into the grimy areas to score goals, and just seemed like the Golden Knights didn't have that final push last night.
Yeah, it was a strange game for sure. Low scoring, 2-1 Canucks over the night. So tomorrow, it's tomorrow night. They would play a game 6 tomorrow, and then a possible back-to-back situation with 7. So if I'm Pete DeBoer and I look at my team and look them all straight, square in the face, and give them the pep talk of moving forward, like, you talk about the short-term memory, but it's hard not to think about missed opportunities in this one. I mean, there were a lot of chances that the Knights had, and again, it was a shooting gallery, and just nothing just broke. I mean, hats off to Demko again. I don't want to.
It was an unbelievable performance.
I don't want to downplay that by any means. But you know, he came in on a whim and a moment's notice, and you know, and he did what a lot of goalies haven't been able to do against the Knights,
right?
And that's to hold them down, keep them in check, and kind of just remind them of like, hey, listen, I'm pretty good at this job too, so you need to be extra special.
Yeah, and that's why it doesn't take that much of a pep talk or a tweak, especially when you're talking about a team that has the makeup with Golden Knights, because you did play an overall pretty good game. It's just the fact that you probably had to expend some energy, like I said, with the penalties, with different aspects of work going on that might have made the difference between finishing a play one more time, and then it's a completely different game because it's a 2-1 game. And that's the thing. Short-term memory is more specific about the negative aspects. You have to be able to look at yourself and take the criticism and what you need to do better. And then sometimes you need that to stick in your craw a little bit, just to keep that motor going, because the motivation is going to be there. But in that finishing ability, when you have multiple opportunities to eliminate a team, it can be sometimes tough to get over the top. That's why the elimination games are so tough. And, you know, I just feel like the chances were there, and you ran into a really special moment, and a special performance. But that's the thing. If there are bones to create it, like last night, there will be bones to create a similar type of environment tomorrow night, no matter who's in net for either team. Because there's been two different starters for each team, and all four of them have won games. And so it's a really weird series, but this is just where you go in the flow, you manage yourself, and you make sure that you're putting the energy and the effort in the right places in the game, and not trying to, you know, cut off your nose to spite your face.
Well, at least the Canucks do have a blueprint now moving into Game 6. They knew some of the things that they need to do. One was to keep that energy of Ryan Reeves off the ice between him and Will Carrier.
Sure.
They were limited in minutes, and the opportunities didn't present themselves, obviously, for them.
Well, you're not scoring.
Yeah, to get them on the ice. And
right.
those aren't the guys you're going to be calling on to, you know, to create offense and make that offense. So that's positive. So tomorrow night, does DeBoer go back to Leonard and then Marc-Andre, if necessary, in 7? Or does Fleury get the call for a game 6, knowing that, you know, it was a 5-3 win that he was a part of, but wasn't, you know, it wasn't indicative of how he played. He played well.
Our goalies have had pretty much nothing but solid performances across the board despite the 2 losses. Like, I don't know what you would like Leonard to do on either one of those goals last night. The first one being the play that was developed, a tip in front of the net wide open for Brock Besser going across to his blocker side, which is a harder save to make in many ways because there's just more holes because you're dealing with the stick and holding the stick on that side. Or the tip where there was like 5 people in front of him that was tipped at the very last second from Elias Pettersson that changed the angle completely, like 2 feet away from that. There's no way that you can even physically react and flip flinch to make that save. And so, and he played incredibly well. He had a couple of big time saves that were game saving. He gave them a chance to win last night. And so did Marc-Andre Fleury. And so did Robin Leonard. So it depends. Where is the team at? Where are they mentally? How is Robin feeling about last night? Like, that's what Peter DeBoer has to figure out, because I have confidence in both goaltenders, but I don't see how I would go back to Leonard just to continuously reinstate. That was a good performance. You did give us a chance to win. And guess what? Your team owes you a good performance to make up for the game that they just gave away from you, because they were expending all this energy, but we're just busy little bees down there. You know, takes a while to make honey, but when there's no finishing ability, how can you expect the odd man rushes and the tips and the long spans of minutes where he's not seeing shots? Like, that's hard to play as a goalie. We talked about that a couple weeks ago, Paul. I would much rather get shelled like Demko last night than play the game that Robin Leonard saw, just because it takes a lot more mental energy for you to stay engaged and in the game all the time and stay at your top versus just getting shelled all the time. You're vibing. It's easy peasy lemon squeezy, especially if things are going well and your team's bullying the people that are trying to bully you.
Yeah, that first period, it almost forgot like what one half of that ice looked like just based on how the Knights really dominated the puck.
Don't Zamboni down here. We don't even need it.
Right. So tomorrow we do have two game sixes, Philadelphia, the Islanders, and then the nightcap tomorrow night is the Golden Knights in Vancouver. Again, roughly 7 o'clock-ish for a puck drop tonight. Mm-hmm. Western Conference could be decided another game six, which starts in about an hour and change. Colorado and Dallas with the Stars leading 3-2 in that one. That one could have closed out a couple of nights ago, but
well,
it did not.
Yeah, but when Colorado like scores, you know, 5 goals in the first period, let alone the first 10 minutes, it's going to be pretty darn tough. But hold on to your butts. There's a strong likelihood that something could happen tonight, and they don't know who they're going to be starting in the net for Dallas. I would expect Khudobin, number 35, in there again. But, you know, it's the Avalanche are a very talented team. Their backs are against the wall, and there's a lot expected. Two game deficit isn't that many.
We're all waiting.
Mm-hmm.
So, night's tomorrow night. We'll get you a full preview tomorrow night, keys to the game as well during tomorrow's show. Coming up next, the Minnesota Vikings quarterback says if he dies, he dies.
You found the Playmakers on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
Paul Lindsay here on this Wednesday afternoon. Thanks for hanging out with us. A couple of things to pass along to you here. One, they're going to play fall sports in Arizona. They have just approved a return to play plan. Don't know quite what that means, but that just breaking to just the, I mean, it's like 35 minutes away, you know, so
it's
Arizona's
great.
Like,
it's a great number. And
Arizona's like right there.
Yeah. It's a little weird because it's, you know, it is September 2nd. That this is kind of coming down, but you know, I don't know what's going on in Arizona. I know that it's been a hot spot and what have you, but I'm sure there are quite a few athletes and their families that are excited that they're going to be able to play this fall.
So you practice for a few weeks. It's okay though, to be honest. Like, I remember when the kids do 2-a-days, they get up at like 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, 110 degrees. They mm-hmm. practice. They actually will practice under the lights, and then the sun will come up and they'll turn off the lights mm-hmm. and finish their practice on the turf or wherever they happen to be going. It's nuts just to beat the heat. It's already 95.
Yeah, that's the worst. And you just wake up at 7 a.m., 95. No, thank you. Do not want to put football pads on and run up and down this field with you guys yelling at me. Nope. No, thank you.
Well, Minnesota Vikings quarterback Kirk Cousins will put on his pads and allow people to yell at him. He doesn't.
Lots of people do that in Minnesota too, Kirk Cousins, so he's used to it.
Yeah, it's very true. He basically says, you know what, when it comes to the coronavirus, I am going to deal with the survival of the fittest. If I die, I die. Now, he said this in a podcast back in July,
mm-hmm.
and he's trying to clarify it a little bit.
Changed a little bit since July.
But he's not being like a mask guy, like, I'm not going to wear a mask. Like, he's cool with wearing the mask,
mm-hmm.
but he's like, listen, something's going to get us at some point, whether it's going to be like a bear in the woods or, you know, he's going to fall off his bike. And,
right.
I mean, just anything weird, but he's just like, if I die, I die. I'm okay because I have peace with my death.
Yes. He says if that's what happens, that's what happens. And that's the thing is that Kirk Cousins is not exactly the most popular guy, let alone in his own, you know, franchise's town. It's been a really tough winning over process if it's ever happened.
Well, when you sign a contract of that magnitude.
Yes. And you're Kirk Cousins and you really haven't done that much when we went further in the playoffs with Case Keenum the year before. It's fine. But the thing about Kirk is that you're not going to find a lot of winning formulas. But in terms of how we've been judging others, this seems like one of the best examples that we've seen in terms of, well, just because I don't feel like I'm threatened, doesn't mean that I'm going to impose my feelings on everyone else. He goes, I might not think it's as serious, but out of respect for my fellow people around me, I wear the mask and I follow the rules, even though I don't think it's, but some people are that terrified. Some people aren't. But he's a leader, and he is trying to say, I how can you argue with what he says? I mean, if you minimize it to, if I die, I die, which a lot of us are doing, especially on social media. But in terms of what we've heard from other people and how they've, you know, gone out in the and had actions, I think that's pretty darn good.
Sure, he's okay. He's just okay with it. You know, he's not changing what he said a month ago.
No.
This makes so much sense to me. And, you know, I'm not this uber religious guy. I'm just not. You believe in what you want to believe in, and I respect that. He says, I don't believe I control the outcome of my life. There are many things out of my control.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I get that.
Yeah.
I totally get that. It feels incredibly reasonable.
Yeah, and he's a big man upstairs guy, and that's the thing. It's just, that is somebody that has done some thinking and that kind of understands the larger place that he has in the world. And as Kirk Cousins and as a human being, we do not control a lot of this. We don't know when our time is. So if this is the way it happens, but again, it's about him saying, yeah, even though this is the way I feel, I know that other people really struggle with it. And this is the respectable thing for me to do because, you know, that's what we're supposed to be doing.
He said there was some nervousness about going back to camp.
Yeah.
But he says that was more about not having a lot of information, just as with the players, just being a player going back to training camp and having to practice and going, okay, well, you know, I'm not wearing an N95 out here on the field, and,
right.
You know, but the tests, and we've seen this on Hard Knocks, you know, again, another episode last night was, again, meh.
Yeah, well, it was interesting to see kind of how it all unfolded last week, considering the events when everybody had the pause and what have you, but that's what I mean. Everybody... That's why it's so tough for these guys to talk about stuff and why, like, people are vilifying Kirk Cousins for saying this. If you get on people for saying this, which is a completely reasonable stance and really good way to probably look at all of this, like, of course they're not going to talk or say anything or be open. Like, of course not. And so I'm just glad that it seems like there's some sort of, you know, light there that we understand that, because it's just, I feel like there's so much chaos and it's so easy to get caught up in, you know, day to day. You think that you get through it and by the end of the night, you're like, oh, it'd probably be better tomorrow. And you wake up and you look at your phone and you're like, it's just another day in 2020. So at least Kirk gets it.
Right. Listen, I got the mask right here.
We all do.
It's sitting here. It's just part of, it's like tying your shoes now.
Yeah.
It really is. It's the reminder that, you know, This is the world that we live in right now, and we'll get through it together.
Staying down at the strip. Everybody's wearing masks when they're walking around in public.
How much hand sanitizer have you used?
Quite a bit. I'm trying to, because it's, you don't realize until you're like there, you're like, okay, the elevators, you got A, B, and C, but they have it everywhere at different stations. They have masks available, and I'm not sure, like I said, I'm staying at the Luxor, so I don't know what everybody else is doing, but I'm not out and about. I'm trying to find food, and then I go back to my room. That's where I'm chilling.
So the hand sanitizer, I've been to Mandalay Bay, and they've got the foamy stuff. So Do they have the foamy stuff at Luxor, too?
Yeah, they because have more of the gel stuff.
Okay, because I get disappointed. Like, there was one, where was I? Oh, Burger King. So I went rolling into Burger King a couple of days ago.
Okay.
And because the drive-thru line was insane.
Yeah, chicken fries. Obviously, you got to do what you got to do.
My son loves chicken fries.
That's why we're best friends, me and Ash.
Chicken fries and french fries. And I go in there and I wait. And right before you walk out, because you could, every place now, it's so weird because you're so used to being able to walk into like multiple entrances. But mm-hmm. Now it's like one way in, one way out.
Correct.
It's fine. But, you know, I've nearly walked into doors because they didn't open for me now. I'm like, why is this door not? Oh, wait a second, Paul.
Yeah.
Read the damn sign.
This isn't a delayed automatic.
But at the Burger King, and I'm not taking shots at Burger King here because I enjoy Burger King. Everyone is a good Burger King. They have the hand sanitizer too, but it's not the foam. It's like this watery kind of, and as it squirts out, it's almost like it's too much. It's too much.
And it's more of a water base, it's just there's a lot.
It's literally like, I mean, if you lift your hand up before you put your other hand on it, and the whole idea is because you're pushing out of the door at that point.
Correct.
So you're pushing out the door. So I'm pushing out the door with like my elbow or shoulder, but I'm holding food at the same time. So I've got one hand with this hand sanitizer that's literally dripping like Ghostbusters goo.
It's like when you're young and you're in the bathtub, and you're like, I can hold the water and none of it's going to escape from my hands.
And so I'm pushing out the door and I'm like, I'm trying not to lose the hand sanitizer, but I got to make sure that, I mean, I'm, it's this weird jungle. So I'm like, I'm all for the foam, this watery, whatever stuff that is. And I get it. You know, you, not everybody wants to spring for the good stuff.
Yeah.
It's, I'm like, okay, so I got to get into my car now, get the keys out of my hand. I got to make sure that everything's like watery, and I'm worried about like getting it all over my clothes and stuff.
And when it's like, that watery, you're like, how effective is this? There's just, there's certain little ways to like feel things, but yeah, at least they're putting it out there and they're putting it in your, but that's, I mean, you want to create that kind of secondary thought process so you're not just an autopilot where we're walking around without masks and stuff, because that's not the reality we live in right now. You have to. Right. You have to be disrupted.
You know when Yelp reviews start talking about, okay, do they have the foamy soap or do they have the liquid soap?
Right. That's the deal breaker for you.
I'm going to opt for the foamy one. Like, if you've got the foamy soap, you will have my business.
That's where you draw the line.
Right.
Right there.
Unless I want, you know, chicken fries for my kid.
Correct.
It's just how it goes.
Yeah, the drive-thrus are insane now. You have no idea how many different McDonald's I probably circle on the daily just to get in line for a large shake. I know I can walk inside. I don't want to.
Right. Listen, if you go rolling up to a drive-thru and you see traffic cones, expect to wait.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't think you're going to be sitting there for at least 10, 15 minutes.
Or people directing traffic. Welcome to In-N-Out. Welcome. That is what is happening. Two people down the road from us every day.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Chick-fil-A, Raising Cane's. Yeah, those guys.
There's increased volume into the drive-thru and just everything. It's, you know, it's not great to be a drive-thru enthusiast like myself in 2020. Because everybody else is joining the club.
Yeah, be nice to them. If you're ready with your order, it'll speed up the line really fast. And I'll be honest with y'all, In-N-Out has not really changed the menu board.
No. No. Or the hidden menu board that I've never partaken in. But yeah, and especially just be nice to the people in there. They're putting themselves on
the
line.
Hot.
Just ask them how their day is going. Say thank you. Have a nice day. Like, you never know. You never know.
Right. Well, speaking of nice things, depending on how you look at it, Vin Scully has jumped into a cesspool.
You found the Playmakers on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
So, if you want to follow us on the Twitter, we have one for the station, Sports Radio 1140. You can follow my co-host, Lindsey Brown, on the Twitters at LindseyBrown35.
Mm-hmm.
The correct way to spell Lindsey, as she says.
Correct.
And you can also follow me on the Twitters, Paul Ihander, PaulIhander, although I'm still pondering the change.
Yes.
So,
but it's very important, the branding.
We're working on that one.
On the social medias.
I do want to remind you, coming up at 4:22, we will have Ash the attorney on with us from Sam and Ash to, we'll tee up a few things for her, see if she can
Plenty of legal things to discuss in the sports world.
See if she can put them in the middle of the fairway.
For sure.
Or shank them wildly out of
bounds. Shankopotamuses. Keep that negativity. That's the thing. That's the problem with your golf game, Paul.
It can happen.
It's not going to happen. You can't have that in your mindset. That bunker is not 5 feet in front of you right before the green. It's fine. You're going to hit it right on the green. It's going to be within 5 feet of the, and you're just going to put it in and move on.
I don't worry about the bunkers that are directly in front of me. I don't have a problem with the short game. It's the 180 yard approach is what I have the challenge with, because I like to roll things up. I don't stick a lot of greens.
No. More of a bump and runner type of player, huh?
A little bit, yeah.
Well, more power to you, friend.
I like my middle irons and chips.
I like mine with a little more finesse.
Sure,
of course. Doesn't always work out, though.
Today was a big day. If you haven't followed him on the social media, you should. He has unveiled and debuted his first ever message on social media, and it came on Twitter. Within 24 hours of him joining Twitter, he's got the verified blue check mark. He is Los Angeles Dodgers legend Vin Scully.
And
Hi, everybody. Hi, everybody, and a very pleasant good afternoon to you. This is Vin making his debut on social media, and it's nice to be welcomed. I'm delighted to see if I can't serve you in any way, shape, or form. We might chat about a famous date in baseball, or a player, or a team, and hopefully nothing controversial. This is strictly a meeting of friends having some fun talking about our favorite subject. So, pull up a chair and be ready to join me, hopefully, in the very near future as we start our careers together on social media.
Together.
Together. All 81,900 of us that he's accumulated since starting his Twitter account in August of 2020.
How many does he have?
81,900.
81,900. So, when they announced this on Saturday, I was one of the first 500.
Ooh!
And And so I was like, okay, cool. Hopefully something comes out of this. Everybody started, and then he put this out there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, again, within 24 hours, he had the blue check mark. I can just imagine how, and Vin dressed up.
Of course he did.
I thought he'd like put on like a little cutoff t-shirt and flip-flops at house. Hey, listen, it's retirement. I'm Vince Scully. We're going to talk some baseball. But listen, it's not going to be the baseball that you're used to while I was in the booth.
If there's anyone that knows how to make a good first impression, it's Vin freaking Scully.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm in more of the camp if you're not on social media at this point. Trust me, don't wait in here. It's not that fun. It's actually just not fun at all. But, you know. Vin Scully, maybe this is what Twitter's been missing. Maybe this is why Twitter's so bad, because Vin has never been on this. And now it is nothing but a treasure trove of happy memes and baseball stories and no controversies whatsoever. I can't wait to see whenever that one comes through.
I dig that. I totally dig that.
It's like some wholesome content.
Vin,
you know,
wants to keep this as clean and as pure as possible.
Yeah.
For a guy who's auctioning off all his stuff because he says he wants to treasure the memories as opposed to treasuring the treasures.
Yeah, he pokes my heart.
It's amazing. I mean, but I can just imagine him getting ready for like the next video that he shoots, because obviously Vin's not just straight going to tweet. He's going to give us glimpses of him and
right. His
life. I can only imagine that he's probably yelling at his wife and Sandy, God bless her, probably yelling at her, Sandy, is the lighting okay on this?
Right. Get the selfie light. Get over here.
Do you think Vin has a selfie light?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. If you're going to be doing videos of this quality, for sure. I have a selfie light, Paul. Even I have jumped on that bandwagon. Am I a happy passenger? Not necessarily, but it's necessary to get to the journey that we're trying to take.
He's going
to
be on the Instagram, too.
He'll have
a Facebook presence as well, but he debuted on Twitter. He did Twitter first. With that 40 seconds that you just heard.
Yep.
And it is the Vin Scully that you'll see him on Twitter. That's the handle, the Vin Scully.
I'm just waiting for the likes and retweets or not endorsements or tweets and caps are mine. All of those eventually. He's going to have to, there's a lot of rules. There's a lot of ways you can get caught up on social media that even though you're just trying to be wholesome.
Are his DMs open?
Probably. I'm sure some people have already tried to slide in. You know, those bots go.
Right.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Vin Scully on Twitter.
Yeah. Unreal. Vin Scully.
Welcome, Vin.
Welcome.
Don't wait in too far.
Mm-mm.
Please don't.
Bring water wings.
Coming up next, some news on your Raiders you're not going to want to hear.
Inside information on your teams, honest opinion, and the biggest names in sports. It's time, Las Vegas, for the Playmakers.
Hour number two of the Playmakers. Paul Ihander here on the other side of the desk, the east side, 6.345 feet away, socially distant, is Lindsey Brown.
Hello! Hello!
As we get things rolling here in hour number two, lots of NFL news to pass along to you. That's where we're going to start. At 4:22, Ash the attorney from Sam & Ash will be joining us. See a few legally sporty things in front of her. And at 4:42, some interesting news about a reality show and a couple of ex-athletes who made this year's cut for that show.
Very exciting.
Yeah, it's kind of cool stuff.
So let's eclectic mix.
Start with the NFL today, and as we start with the Raiders, some news that's trickled out this afternoon while we started the show. The NFL Network reporting that Raiders first-round cornerback Damon Arnette fractured his thumb and is wearing a soft cast. This has been backed up by the Athletic as well, saying he's had this cast on for a bit, but no one seemed to have known that it was actually for a fracture or anything like that. He's still working with the first team, so he will be he'll be the starter at least, whether he's got a cast or not.
Mm-hmm. Aren't cornerbacks just kind of wide receivers that have trouble catching things usually?
He's played with a cast too at Ohio State.
Yep. You just club it down. You're just trying to knock the ball down. I mean, if you can get an interception, that's great, but as long as you're just making sure they don't succeed, that is your job as cornerback.
Just a different kind of bump and run coverage more than anything else.
Yeah.
You're gonna have to rely a little bit more on your feet in terms of physicality than anything else.
He's got young legs, so they should be plenty ready to go.
Yeah, positive news though in terms of just at least he is on the field and he's still practicing, he's still working first team, so that's good. So maybe the release of Prince Amukamara still wasn't a bad thing. They still feel that they're very confident in Arnette, even as
well,
he works.
Breaks heal pretty quickly, six to eight weeks usually. You don't want to mess with the thumb. You want to make sure you have full dexterity.
Yeah.
So, who knows?
Yeah, it's like that blister, right?
Sure, they're unfit to play, upper body, lower body. It's not like everybody's, privy to all these details anyways.
For the truth. Today, head coach John Gruden spoke to the media, talked a little bit about yesterday's news that Tyrell Williams was going to be placed on IR.
That's right.
Second year of a 4-year contract. He's got all the guaranteed money in front of him. Again, but behind him, really, only one kind of sort of season of production, about 650 yards. Really, like, career lows for him. And in terms of the investment, feels like the Raiders didn't get a lot of rate of return on that one.
No.
Coach John, Chucky, he's trying to stay positive and talks about replacing Williams.
Well, Ty just unfortunately couldn't stay healthy. He had the foot problem all of last year, and the shoulder does require surgery. He potentially could have tried to play through it and wear a harness, but when you have that much restricted movement, it's hard to catch the ball away from your body. I think we all agree putting him on IR was the only thing to do. And we just hope our young receivers can get done what our young DBs have to get done. They got to go out and get ready to play. And we're excited about it.
He's ready. He's ready for Henry Ruggs.
Yeah. Well, Henry Ruggs better be ready because it's coming whether he's ready or not. And that's the tough thing, especially with how front loaded that deal was and how little you've been able to get out. And then, you know, everybody's going to be dealing with a really tough situation in terms of their ability to bring guys in or make trades, what have you, because the cap situation is going to be tough. We spoke a lot about that yesterday. And, you know, they definitely have the talent. It's just whether or not the talent is going to be able to get up to speed and with how young they are.
Yeah, they'll have developed some rapport with Derek Carr. Not that they hadn't done so already in camp, but you go from Henry Ruggs and Bryan Edwards. Hunter Renfrow's a proven commodity, although he was hurt.
It's only second year.
Right, towards the end of last season. They have Nelson Agholor, who Gruden says he loves. And Zay Jones the same way, who they traded for last year from Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
He's emerged as a much different player here in kind of year two of the system, so to speak.
Right.
So they've got him returning. He'll probably return some punts as well. So there are backups. There are guys that can take his place. It's just a little steeper of a learning curve for these guys. Not that they weren't going to get minutes anyway to start this season, but that learning curve that would normally be kind of gently weaseled in with preseason games doesn't exist. And now you don't, you know, now you don't have to, you're going to be in on a lot more plays with Williams being out.
Exactly. And like you said, with the rapport with Derek Carr, there's a rapport in terms of hanging out in the locker room, and then there's game rep rapport that you're not getting with preseason that you're going to have to organically just like come up with in the regular season. And we all know that quarterbacks like to have at least one or two security blankets out there just in case they need to dump things off. I know that, you know, between Waller and Renfrow, but still, those are both guys that haven't exactly, you know, been step for step with Derek Carr the entire way. That's what you find a lot with those really good quarterbacks. There's usually one guy that they always kind of work with, and maybe it's
right. The trust factor.
Exactly.
Is important.
Exactly. And so it's a tall task, and it's a tall task to ask of rookies in general, and especially rookies that aren't operating with the same offseason and onboarding process that they usually are. So
yep.
Step up.
Yeah, Raiders going to the youth. Gruden was happy about Henry Ruggs in terms of his performance. Even spoke to him about just being a good guy overall off the field.
He's been brought up well. He's got a great family. Credit to his mom and dad. Montgomery, Alabama, from a small town. And he's just a hard-working, no-nonsense, day-to-day consistent grinder. You'd love him. You'd like him in your business. We love him in ours. But he's got a big future ahead of him, I think, as long as we don't screw him up.
I love John.
It's nice, and that's surface-level stuff right there, as long as we don't screw him up.
But it is about the prep. It's about how you approach your day-to-day operations, because as much as we like to say, you know, all the legends and champions are made on game day, they're not. They're made on Monday morning and Tuesday night, and whether or not you're eating the right things. And if he's already, you know, in with this team and in Las Vegas and, you know, onboarded super well, super calm, really mature, keeping a lot of distractions to the side. Just think of how much more energy he can get better in other areas on the football field, and that negativity and distraction, that's obviously not part of the picture either. So nothing but good things to hear about Ruggs.
Yeah. Well, if they need a receiver, although it's $6.5 million, the Patriots are going to release Mohamed Sanu.
Really?
Yes, which is a surprise. Remember last year they traded for him.
It was from the Lions, right?
Falcons.
Falcons.
It was a second round pick is what they gave up.
What is Bill?
They've already got a couple receivers in terms of Edelman, obviously.
It's a lot of money.
N'Keal Harry of Arizona State, who's a stud. But Sanu apparently just not in the plans for Bill Belichick. Maybe him and Cam aren't getting along, or or whatever.
But it's just a bloated contract where he's a valuable member to the team, but not necessarily the production number that would warrant that type of paycheck. And as we've been saying, in all years, it's not a time to have bloated contracts on your roster.
He was going
to
be their number four as well.
Yeah, you're not paying a number four $6 million a year. No way.
There will be some. There's probably going to be a market for him. I can't imagine that there wouldn't be. But, you know, Leonard Fournette's still standing right now looking for places to land. And that's where we go next, where his suitors are kind of dwindling a little bit. We spent a little time talking about this yesterday in terms of Fournette and the Patriots, who are going to release Sanu, not in the running for Fournette. At least they're saying that this is not a place where he would land.
Well, we'll see about that. It's hard for me to say, especially when you have them dropping as big of a dollar amount player as they just did in the Patriots. We never know what Bill's going to do. I could still see him having, but dwindling. I mean, he just cleared waivers yesterday. So right. It's just, we don't know. This is just the sources. They tell us things sometimes.
Some of the leaders in the clubhouse, again, like the Rams, we talked about the Rams and how they really don't have this featured back. They're going to go by committee with Jared Goff, which seems a little strange for McVay's system, but you know it'll work. But he says he's committed to Cam Akers. They love him. Malcolm Brown, who is the guy who is the most highest paid running back at like $1 million in that system. So
yeah,
they're gonna roll.
Well, Goff said last night, "Give me a top 10 defense. We can take it the rest of the way there on Hard Knocks." Okay, Jared, just the top 10 defense. We'll just take care of that, and then you can do it. Sounds good, buddy.
Right.
Just, go golf.
Yeah, just get behind Seattle and San Francisco.
Yeah, we don't like a top 10 defense to operate within, wouldn't we?
Right. And then the other team that we did not talk about yesterday, which was a little, which kind of caught me by surprise a little bit, but I did forget that their starting running back went down. David Montgomery. So, by the way, if you're drafting fantasy tonight, he's going to have a groin injury. He's going to be sidelined for a bit. So, Tariq Cohen could be your call for the Bears.
The Bears
in Chicago. That was not a team that I thought about, but they're saying that they're going to sit. Matt Nagy said today the Bears aren't going to add anybody at running back. He says he likes the running back room that he has.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's not probably a lot of wiggle room down there either. And again, when you're talking about adding big-time running backs with that type of paycheck and his age, while he's a big-time prospect for a franchise, it's going to be tough for anybody to sign a long-term deal without getting him into the building and considering what the forecast is the next few years.
She's Lindsey Brown. I'm Paul Leihander on this Wednesday giving you some NFL news. I must have missed this on Hard Knocks last night, but the Chargers announced that as Phil Rivers departs, they had a kind of open quarterback competition there, so to speak, but it's going to be Tyrod Taylor who's going to get the start at quarterback for the Los Angeles Chargers.
Well, it wasn't last night's episode. Isn't it the week prior?
Yeah.
And based off of what we saw from last night's episode with Tyrod Taylor, he's a leader in that locker room. He gathered those guys in to have the conversation that a lot of us had last week, and especially in the sports world. And, you know, they were showing parts where Herbert was struggling and Lynn saying how valuable that is to him as well. Because it's just, you're not going to walk in and just be able to do whatever you want. You have to struggle. You have to have some adversity because guess what? It's going to happen out on the game field. So if you don't experience it here and learn how to beat it, can't expect yourself to do it out there. So, makes sense. That's kind of what you were kind of thinking when we were, because it's your boy, Herbie.
Yeah, I never thought Herbert was going to start it really in year one. They left Taylor there on purpose.
He's a very capable quarterback.
He already knows the system.
Yeah.
You know, he basically kind of sat and got healthy all last year because Rivers didn't get hurt. And so he's got a fresh set of legs, fresh set of eyes. See where he can take them. I think if he struggles early on, they'll yank him pretty quick.
Yeah,
I
mean, that's usually how these go. Right?
It's what happens, but you know, the time is, you know, you're paying Herbert to play. You're paying him to start. You picked him at six to start.
Correct.
You
know,
you don't take him that high, so he's not going to sit long. It could take a season. I mean, again, we've seen this happen on many occasions. First-round draft choices sit behind the veterans for a year unless there's a pressing need to really get them into the lineup.
Need is subjective based off of where guys' contracts are and whether or not their coaching staff is, you know, under fire.
Very true, but you know, there's a longer leash for Lynn, obviously, in Los Angeles with the Chargers, and they've got a defense that is, oh my goodness gracious, that is a defense that the Raiders will run up against twice this year, and it's impressive. I mean, the pass rush alone is going to be a beast.
Yeah, and that's I mean, if you can't succeed and excel against the guys in your own practice, and especially when you're getting, you know, he was talking about guys were talking trash. Yep, that's what's going to happen. It's all about the growing process. And if you got to earn that respect, and they're not going to get to that point until you have the opportunity to play or you earn it through practice. And there just hasn't been enough practice time for him to supplant. So, I mean, there's going to be a bright future, but I think the leash is going to be a little bit longer this year. And honestly, I think we've been putting a lot of these young guys out there too soon. Just because you're hungry doesn't mean you don't have to use the green banana when there's an apple sitting right there. Just let it chill for a little bit, and then you can eat something tomorrow as well, and everyone can be happy.
Yeah, it's the interesting part about Tua in Miami, too, where Ryan Fitzpatrick is clearly still he's the veteran there, he's the veteran in the room, and Tua isn't quite, he's throwing passes, but not quite hitting it all on all cylinders right now.
We're just a few months removed and be like, can he play?
Right, can he actually walk?
Yeah, can he walk?
The one guy that's getting all the headlines right now, and deservedly so, if you've the practice reports and the things that are coming out, is Joe Burrow.
Burrow is going to come with the number one overall.
Burrow
selection.
Has been impressive. Well, again, coming from a school that has had more than its share of first round draft choice quarterbacks fizzle out.
And going to an organization that hasn't seen someone of his caliber and his position in quite a long time as well.
Yeah, so Burrow's going to be fine at least until he takes the first snap, and then we'll all see.
And we'll see how quick.
Right.
Yep.
But he seems to be doing okay. Also in starting quarterback news today, the quarterback competition is over with the Washington football team. It will be Dwayne Haskins who will be the starter in week one against the Eagles.
Well, and Alex Smith just got back to full contact a couple weeks ago. I think we all kind of saw that. And then who else is there?
Kyle Allen.
Oh, Kyle Allen. I was going to say, isn't it, who's the guy from Texas that was here
Colt
last?
Colt McCoy.
But he got hurt as well last
right.
year. So Kyle Allen played for who?
Kyle Allen was the Carolina Panthers quarterback supplanting
right.
Newton. Right.
You were convinced that
You were convinced.
You thought it was the MVP candidate for the second half of the year. That's right. I'm not going to bring that up ever again.
You don't have to.
Oh, I won't.
But he's going to back up Haskins. But what does it mean for Alex Smith? Is there even a competition, even room for him on that roster based on the money that he's due to make? He can't sit. You can't have him sit. Jacksonville got lucky with Nick Foles and unloading him. If Smith shows any sort of, you know, even thinking about, you know, a COVID list and say Haskins gets COVID, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say he gets it. I'm not sure you can stash Smith there to be that guy.
Yeah, we don't even know if he's a viable backup at this point, if he's back up to speed, because it's not like it's just like any other injury. Like, he almost died. He literally almost died, almost lost his leg. But yeah, and again, given the circumstances and the climate, you know, they might not be able to hold on to him. But I'll tell you, if they cut him, that's not going to be a good PR look either, considering how much, you know, they have been part of the journey and his recovery and stuff. And it's just an unfortunate situation.
One last thing here. Carolina Panthers owner David Tepper put out a wide-ranging interview today he talked about attendance at games and things like that. He's frustrated because he'd like fans at the opener against the Raiders
sure.
in Charlotte. He still wants to bring in limited numbers of fans. It just won't happen week one.
Mm.
They still have limitations like we do here in Nevada on gatherings of more than 50.
Mm-hmm.
So, but he says they've had a plan since March based on science, and he's been spending money. Tepper's got the cash to do it. So he's like, I have a plan. There is a plan. Like, we have infectious disease experts on our payroll plan.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if he's going to hazmat suit everybody here.
That's what I mean. If you got money, those are the ones that can put pressure on the people that make the big decisions. Is that why the NBA did what they did?
Yeah, we'll see how this works out. Also, he also talked about the fact that they wanted a new stadium in Charlotte, too, and they pushed it back at least another 10 years.
Well, considering
to have a new stadium,
it's
there
probably not at the right. list, top of the list of priorities right now.
Right. Also, he did talk about the release of Cam Newton. It's actually amusing. He said there was uncertainty about the injuries and the team's inability to monitor those injuries because of the pandemic. He was going to make $19 million.
Yep.
He ended it by saying this: I didn't know so many people in Charlotte knew a word that began with F. So,
well, that whole situation
did
not. Well, they didn't handle it well.
It wasn't.
As an organization, they did not handle that well.
It was a not conscious uncoupling.
Whatever their reasoning is, whether it's sound or not, they did not handle that well, especially for a guy who did as much for that organization as Cam Newton did. So,
well, Cam has moved on. The Panthers have moved on. They've got Teddy Bridgewater under center there, a brand new head coach. And the team, at this time next week, we'll be talking about injury reports. Amazingly enough, week one, we do have the game, obviously, on the 10th. But, yeah, the
It's here.
One of the NFL is here. We are under 2 weeks away. Yeah, the rubber is meeting the road very quickly.
Very quickly.
Yeah, and the Raiders do start on the road.
Put a seatbelt on.
Coming up next, Ash, the attorney from Sam and Ash, going to tee a few things up next.
You found the Playmakers on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
It is a Wednesday today, and when it's a Wednesday, it means we get our visit with our friends at Sam and Ash. We have Ash, the attorney, with us today, and she takes your calls at 702-820-1234, because you can get more with your personal injury lawyers and be treated like family. Get the justice you deserve with Sam and Ash, because they are the law firm that does what's right for you. Ash, thanks for coming back. We didn't scare you off last time.
No, it takes a lot to scare me off, so you two are going to have to step your game up for that.
We are indeed. We're a little bit tired here because that late-night game from the Golden Knights last night, unfortunately, losing 2-1. But any thoughts, any coaching decisions that you would make ahead of Game 6 tomorrow night?
Yeah, I don't know. It kind of looked a little sloppy. That one goal, though, was unreal. But I don't know, just tighten it up. Now you understand it's not a given. It's not a guarantee. So I think they'll get it done this next game.
Exactly. Sports aren't played on paper, right? You got to go out and execute every shift by shift.
That's why we play the game.
Exactly.
Sam and Ash joining us here. It's Ash this time. SamandAsh.com, by the way, is the website that you want to check them out on. You can also submit forms to get all the contact information there. Ash, let's talk about what's happening with the Washington football team. The NFL is stepping in to deal with the investigation of these sexual harassment claims, but it kind of feels like it feels like maybe the teacher investigating the teacher aide in the classroom. You know, when you guys go out and look at, you know, accidents and things like that, I mean, I'm assuming it's not just, you know, you're just relying on that one person that's involved in that crash or that accident or whatever it is to give you all that information. I would assume you would want a few people with some unbiased opinions on this.
Yeah, absolutely. In a lot of cases that we deal with, you bring in third-party experts, and they'll testify to what their experience and expertise and knowledge tells them. But the fascinating thing here is, you know, the Washington Redskins, they did what's right. Immediately, they hired a law firm to come in and do an internal investigation into these allegations. And of course, you know, there's always the question of, is that law firm completely independent, or are they responsive to Dan Snyder, the owner of the Redskins? And so that's been the question. And Snyder came in and said, you know what, to ensure utmost transparency and independence of the investigation, we're putting it over to the NFL to be the people who the law firm report to, not him. I think the NFL's suited for this. They have no interest in really protecting the Redskins. They have to promote a fair environment for all of their teams. And so I think this is the right move.
I agree. I just don't understand how you even start an investigation and you start reporting to Snyder. Like, why would anybody feel comfortable coming forward with their stories or what they have to say if you have that threat of repercussion? And I'm starting to think about, just considering all that's gone on, Dan Snyder as an owner, how kind of unsuccessful that entire thing has been. And it's not like he's doing himself any favors, and especially in the past couple of years. Could he lose this team? Do you think that's that could potentially be in the cards, Ash?
Yeah, so you're right. That's the reason they did the switch to the NFL, is to make sure that people felt comfortable coming forward and speaking truthfully about their experiences. So that's right on one side. I've heard that the minority owners of the Redskins are actually currently looking to sell their stakes in the team, because I imagine it's because of all of this. But, you know, the last time we saw a majority owner ousted from their team was Don Sterling and the Clippers. And it was, and I mean, now look at the Clippers. You know, sometimes teams need it, and maybe that's the case. And if these, and right now they're just allegations. Remember, you know, if things come to light, it starts to materialize that these are true, and he's not an active owner that's pushing his team in the right direction. I think I could see it happening.
SamAndAsh.com. This is Ash the attorney with us here. 702-820-1234 joins us on Wednesdays to talk some sports and some legal issues as well. Let's stick with the NFL here real quick. David Tepper came out today, talked about unfair competitive advantage because in Carolina, they're hosting the Raiders in week one. They're not going to have fans in the stands and may not just based on the laws and the rules and the regulations on the books in North Carolina. But he says at some point, my divisional rivals, Tampa, New Orleans, Atlanta, will probably have some fans in the stands just based on jurisdictions. Do you think the NFL should just kind of step in and just kind of issue a one big sweeping rule on attendance this season?
No, I don't. I think every stadium and city is in its own unique position in dealing with this virus. You know, there's some that are in more rural and some that are in more urban locations. And so the NFL can't come out unless they were to ban them entirely and fans, but still I'm against that. Fans can travel, you know, like I've been to the LA Coliseum to watch the Rams play the Packers, and it was more Packers fans than Rams fans. So the concept of home field advantage, it's real, that's part of it, but you know, fans can travel too.
I'm just surprised because the NFL is one of those leagues where the owners will start pushing the commissioner, will start pushing, you know, power around. You're a Cowboys fan. You're very familiar with that type of power play and those moves that Jerry does. And so the advantage is there, but it's just there's just so much money riding on this. And we've already seen, you know, speaking of the divisional rivals of the Carolina Panthers, you remember when the New Orleans, like somebody was suing, you know, because of that pass interference call. And that's where we got the rule change and stuff. I don't understand why you wouldn't just try to avoid that PR mess, you know, one that you and I always talk about, just being like, just think of how much energy, time, and money you can save by just going the extra mile to say the right thing or doing the right thing first.
Yeah, I would actually argue, though, that the PR move would maybe, the NFL is pushed passing the buck onto the individual teams. They don't want the PR backlash one way or the other, and so they're letting teams make the decisions themselves. Because if the NFL came out and said all teams can have X percent capacity in their stadium, and then one team is in a state where cases are increasing, now that looks like a bad decision. So I don't know. I think the NFL might just be passing off the PR buck to the individual teams to take the heat.
Ash with us from Sam and Ash. Visit them, SamAndAsh.com, because you deserve what's right. Ash, let's talk about Michael Jordan a little bit. You're a basketball freak, basketball fan, and he he decided to make everyone's 401ks a little bit happier today by joining DraftKings as an advisor. When you see that kind of a bump, just with the stock market alone, by just saying, hey, I'm aligned with Michael Jordan, how valuable do you think that kind of a brand is? I'm like, you know brand, because you are Ash of Sam and Ash. Michael Jordan, that brand literally kicked up a stock nearly 20% this morning.
Yeah, you know, we always talk about the halo effect, and Michael Jordan has that. You know, where he goes, companies and brands want in his halo. And so, yeah, the stock market reacted immediately and jumped because of the prospects of what his insight's going to say. And I'm optimistic. I'm curious to see if there's any marketing advantage used later on, you know, if they start putting him in commercials to push NBA gambling in states where it's legal. That might be a great move, you know, similar to what Papa John's did with Shaquille O'Neal. But, you know, Michael Jordan's always been a behind-the-scenes guy, so I don't anticipate that. And so I'm not sure it's going to be a long-term giant gain for DraftKings.
I mean, the guy knows business. He's figured out how to just keep making money, how to make his brand synonymous with other success stories. And he's been, you know, he's the only player in that league that has a majority ownership stake. And so I guess, you know, the fact that we're moving as close to sports gambling as we are as a society is kind of surprising. I mean, Paul and I had a guest on earlier this week where he was studying that 2007 incident where the refs were basically throwing the games. It was all a scheme. And that was a huge deal. Do you remember that developing? Because that's like right in your and my wheelhouse of kind of sports watching, and especially you being a basketball player and that coming up during your development.
Yeah, I do remember that. And, you know, I'm against rigging sports. And that goes with doping. It goes with refs. It goes from players.
It's a heck of a stance.
Anyway, yeah. Yeah, it goes everywhere. And so I hate to see it, and it's unfortunate. I worry about these lines getting close, but the NBA says it's okay. So as long as there's firewalls between the two, okay.
Integrity fees, right? That's what they call them.
Yeah. Yeah. Integrity fees, yes.
Exactly.
If you're looking for someone to help you get what's right, if you're involved in an accident, involved in something like that, Sam and Ash will be able to help you out and give them a call. Put it in your phone. It'll be useful to you, especially with a long Labor Day holiday weekend coming up and just kind of how we act here in Southern Nevada when we have long holiday weekends.
We like to party!
702-820-1234. 702-820-1234, because you deserve what's right. There's a thought out there in terms of the COVID that's happening, and there's a lot of athletic departments that are out there. Three Clemson professors put together an article suggesting that college coaches' salaries should be capped at this point. And you wonder if, listen, it's about market value, right? I mean, if I'm a manager and I've got some sales experience, or I've run a restaurant for a while, and I roll into a restaurant and they say, we're only going to pay you $55,000, even though at my prior stop I made $98,000. But we want to make sure that the playing field is level. I'm not sure I'm getting my point across here, but, you know, when it comes to being able to level the playing field across all of sports, should we be seeing salary caps at the collegiate football level? For example, a Nick Saban should be making no more than a Marcus Arroyo. All the same, $1 million across the board.
No, I don't think it'll pass antitrust laws. It's, you can't restrict competitive marketplace like that. And look, $1 million salary in Los Angeles is not the same as $1 million salary in South Beach, Florida. So I don't see it happening on a legal basis. I don't think it's the right move. I think, you know, this is one of those situations where the argument is to preserve college athletics due to COVID losses. You know, these coaches have inflated salaries. The athletic departments are going to run at a loss. Well, if the athletic department can't run, then the coach can't coach, and so they're not going to get paid. So there's going to be a discussion on whether they defer payments to the back end, or, you know, there's going to be negotiations over all of these inflated salaries, but capping them across the board, no chance.
Well, then there's the point to be made that you're talking about Nick Saban making how much money that he does, and then none of the players see any of that money, at least right now, in terms of sweeping legislation. And then I'm not sure if you saw this on social media earlier this week as well. A couple of influencers that go to Baylor that I think are getting paid money to post about how they go to Baylor and stuff like that, and how that's muddying the waters, because they're getting paid as influencers and to be associated with the school, but that's technically almost exactly what a student athlete, or at least the classification, sounds like, right?
Are these influencers athletes? I haven't heard this.
No, they're just students, Ash. And so they're just like, we're Baylor students. And I think they posted about testing positive for COVID. But I think there was a paid partnership between the school itself and those influencers. And that's where the muddied waters are, because that's, if you look at it from a definition standpoint, that's exactly what any athlete is doing for any university that they compete for.
Yeah, that's interesting. And I mean, we're going to see athletes eventually be compensated for their name, image, and likeness. So that whole thing is going to resolve in the future, and they're going to be able to market themselves. So I'm okay with it.
Have you been to Waco, Texas?
Waco? No.
Yeah. Have you been to Waco, Texas, Lindsay?
No.
Okay,
Texas.
They need influencers to get you to go to Waco.
They need influencers.
They do. The Chip and what's her face? Chip and Joanna Gaines can only do so much for Waco.
It's just the hypocrisy.
They can only do so much.
It's like, there's
influencers.
Too much.
They could hand out money to get people to move there.
I'm an influencer. We tested positive for COVID. What? Why are you posting? It just seems weird. And like I said, the hypocrisy that surrounds collegiate sports in general, it's just always really irked me. But I agree with you, Ash. I think that we're on the right path. And I think if anything, 2020 has expedited that path to the for the players to have the ability to make money off of their name, likeness, and usability for their university.
Yeah, 100%. We're headed in the right direction, and that's all we ask for is progress, right?
Little steps.
702-820-1234. You can give Ash a call, free consultation. They can be your personal injury attorneys and get you what you deserve. What you deserve, certainly. What is right for you, Ash? Before we let you go, we've been noticing that you've been very active on the social channels recently, and you've been posting a lot more pictures of food, which is what social media is for. Truly, is to put pictures of food up.
And doggos.
And the, yeah, but the dog has
you've
his
got
own.
Both
the
of those covered.
The dog has his own account.
Exactly.
But you ate like at a taco place recently, like tacos. Was it good?
Yeah. So in the Arts District, this place just opened up Letty's. And so I walked over there today, and yeah, it was fantastic. And price point was perfect. I enjoyed it.
In containers, though. You were okay with the container thing, right?
Oh, it wasn't. So it was like in one of those little like paper boats. But, you know, they give you the little plastic cutlery and little tiny plastic salsa things. And I blame COVID, and they'll figure it out. It'll all work out.
Right.
They just opened yesterday.
Oh,
so
wow.
Day two.
I'll take paper receptacles over the plastic ones. Those ones, it just gets mushy. It's the worst.
You know what? Boat tacos are the best. So you're in the right place. If they drop it in a boat or if they roll it in the foil, you're in the right place. You're good either way. I promise. That's for sure.
I now feel immense pressure to post more food photos and more doggo photos to keep you guys happy. But I will do it. I will wear that burden proudly.
Yeah, whatever you're doing, just keep it up. You're doing great.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Ash. Sam and Ash, because you deserve what's right, 702-820-1234. Always good to catch up with Ash.
Absolutely.
Coming up next, reality television and how athletes are getting involved one, two step at a time.
You found the Playmakers on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
Remember, if you missed any part of the conversation with Ash or any part of our conversation throughout the program or even throughout the day here on CBS Sports Radio 1140, you can download the free radio.com app through the Google Play Store or iTunes App Store. Put it on your smart device, then search out CBS Sports Radio 1140 and hit the heart in the upper left-hand corner. We now have season 29, if you can believe this, 29 of Dancing with the Stars.
That's still on?
Yes, it is.
Oh, my gosh. There might actually be 29 seasons, because I know, like, The Voice is on, like, season 20-something already. I'm like, I don't think the show has been on that long. But this one's one of the OG reality shows. Not American Idol OG.
Right.
At least when they were on Fox, but, like, different OG.
Yeah, American Idol is, like, doing Nevada auditions right now, as a matter of fact.
Really?
It's virtual.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
Yeah, it's all virtual.
Well, aren't they filming one of the Netflix reality shows?
Love Island.
That's right. I watched that one. It's like my one reality show that I watched this year.
Yeah, Love Island.
Yeah.
They announced the season 29 of Dancing with the Stars, which normally features a lot of athletes from time to time. We've had athletes actually win.
Especially after they win a championship.
Usually they try to strike while the iron's hot.
Correct.
When they want to get them involved. So this year, it's a handful of athletes. A lot of like names that you kind of think you know, but you kind of don't.
Season 29.
No,
so
I know it is season 29. And they're not bringing back a couple of judges, too. Like, I think Erin Andrews was a part of it, like one of the hosts last year. I don't think she's back.
I'll trust you
year.
On that one.
Yeah.
Literally never seen an episode of this.
Tom Bergeron and Erin Andrews are not on the show anymore. Tyra Banks is taking over the hosting job.
Really?
Yeah.
America's Next Top Model meets Dancer with the Stars.
Well, she was also on America's Got Talent. So Tyra has run she has run the gamut of
the
reality
circuit,
shows.
Truthfully.
Yeah. So the judges are coming back, but Tyra's going to host. So and they're going to get... they have quarantine again. It's a weird, you know, it's a weird reality series.
Yeah.
But of the athletes, tight end, former tight end Vernon Davis.
Okay.
Who retired just this past year? He said he actually turned it down before. So this is like he's ready.
Well,
to go
anybody around. With some good footwork, I'm sure, has gotten. Hey, what you doing this summer? You want to come hang out? Maybe wear some cool outfits. Cha cha cha.
Yep. New York Knicks. In terms of who doesn't like him, the New York Knicks don't like him, but Charles Oakley will also be
part.
Yeah, he probably won't be escorted from the dance floor.
We're going to see how nimble he is, man. He's going to have to be versatile.
Well, you're talking about a guy who's also 6'9".
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of body to keep in control when you're dancing. Like, honestly, Paul, one of the first things I want to do in 2021, one of my New Year's resolutions that I'm going to actually do this year, is I want to start taking dance classes. Not these ones, but, like, I know it's going to be a project to move these limbs because there's more of that than the actual torso. But Oakley, that's a whole different type of tree.
I've taken dance lessons.
Have you?
Yes. I took swing dance lessons back in the 2000s when swing dancing was a thing. When that came back.
Is that when you wore your earring?
No, that was way after.
The earring.
That's way after.
Oh.
No, when swing dancing was a thing and everything, Cherry Pop and Daddies and Brian Setzer Orchestra, Mighty Mighty Boss Tones,
mm-hmm.
that kind of era of swing.
We did line dancing unit in middle school gym for real.
Really?
For real. I don't think I've ever slow danced with someone. That's weird. That's bad, right? That's kind of bad,
you never
right?
Slow danced?
No.
Like a waltz even?
None. Because I didn't go to prom ball. I went to like...
That's right. You had like practice
freshman,
or something.
Yeah, I had other priorities. I went to like freshman year homecoming. And like we were talking about yesterday, I was like sexy back. That wasn't the slow dance type
right.
of
no,
dance.
I gotcha.
And like some Sadie Hawkins. And I was probably too shy to even do that at that point.
Right.
You know, so I don't... Yeah, no. That's what I want to learn how to do. But this stuff, this is... That's why Dancing with the Stars and all these competitions are funny. Because you would see an athlete and you're like, yeah, no... If anyone is going to translate, you know, as seamlessly as anyone can, it's these guys or gals.
Yeah, you hope so.
You would hope so. Who else is on this?
Yeah, Squirrel Nut Zippers, too. Probably the last time and first time you'll ever hear that band name, Squirrel Nut Zippers. Huge swing band.
I need that
band.
On a t-shirt.
Huge swing band. You can get them just, it's a band, it was a band.
I thought you were going to have to, like, dump half of those bands that you were talking about just then. Oh, my goodness.
Johnny Weir, who won some gold medals. Who
skating legend Johnny Weir?
Well, figure skaters have a much easier time Dancing with the Stars. They're used to the choreography. Nelly.
It's getting hot in here.
Yes,
that Nelly?
That Nelly.
Hell to the Only
Nelly.
To his soundtracks. Only to his tracks. That's what I want. God knows what kind of censors we would have.
AJ McLean of the Backstreet Boys. Who shows up here every once in a while here in Las Vegas. They had a residency at Planet Hollywood.
Yeah, it's AJ from the Backstreet Boys. Hey, it's AJ from the Backstreet Boys. Good for him.
And H, which, again...
You're burying the lead here.
No, I'm not burying the
lead
at all.
You're burying the lead name of this.
All.
You are.
Yeah, Carol.
No, I can give...
You.
Who cares about Carol Baskins? I didn't watch Tiger King. I wasn't on that. You know me, Paul. If everybody's on something, guess what I'm not doing? That. I'm going to do that later in my own time, if ever. I'm talking about Jesse Metcalf. From Desperate Housewives, John Tucker Must Die. Paul. We had a slight crush on Jesse back in the day because Desperate Housewives was one of the old... You want to talk about, like, OG?
Wisteria Lane, I get
it. Hell yeah. Yep. Grey's Anatomy and
right,
Desperate
it was
Housewives.
Back to
Sunday,
back, right.
No, because it was Sunday nights. That's when DH was on. And I rewatched it in college. It's one of my best friends. God, what a show. Yeah, Felicity Huffman, William H. Hayden, all those guys.
Yeah.
A lot of drama on that show, even when the show was on and afterwards.
Eva Longoria.
Yeah, exactly. But like Jesse Metcalf.
First wife of Tony Parker, former Spurs point guard.
Ooh, he is a specimen.
So they're going to start September the 14th with foxtrots and waltzes and things like that.
Mm.
And, you know, Oakley and Weir and Davis just kind of.
Nev Schulman from Catfish.
Okay.
Tune right in.
Yes.
I was a So You Think You Can Dance gal. That's the dance show
with
I
Kat
watched.
Dealey.
Obsessed
and
with that show. Nigel, you had Kat, you had, you know, Mia Michaels would come in.
Yep.
That's where Twitch came from.
That's
who's
right.
Works
Twitch
on Ellen.
That's right. Twitch was from
yeah,
there.
There's tons of talent there littered across this town that got their start on that
I
show.
I remember when that show debuted.
They did their next round of auditions here. That was like, your ticket to Vegas. Oh, God, that was such a great show.
I remember it was back in my entertainment journalism days.
Mm.
I was at Idol in Hollywood, and they were just trotting out So You Think You Could Dance. To the summer audience because it was a summer show.
Yeah.
And so Kat made the rounds with all of us and We all got to interview her and she's just phenomenal.
Yep. Tall blonde from Australia.
She's
very nice.
She's very pretty.
No.
You know, Emmett Smith won in season 3 of Dancing with the Stars.
Who's,
Emmett Smith.
I'm trying to think of the wider seat. Victor Cruz. Didn't he win as well?
Hines Ward.
Well, didn't Victor Cruz win as well?
I don't think he won.
Well, he was definitely on it. Well, especially with his touchdown celebration, right? Wasn't that the line?
It was the salsa.
Yeah, exactly. No, you're right. There have been a lot of athletes.
Sean Johnson,
mm-hmm.
the gymnast, Paulo Ono.
the skater.
Yep. Also another skater, Christy Yamaguchi, also won. Mm-hmm. So you think Johnny Weir would have the inside track.
They do dance classes to get better at figure skating. We are also at the point in time where, you know, football players go to ballet classes and other dance classes to get better. Because believe it or not, same body, same athletic features that can be taken from other sports to the main one. This is why we don't professionalize at nine.
Layla Ali finished third in season four.
Season four? What year was that?
That was back when Apollo Anton Ono won. Yeah, and so she lost.
2010-ish?
She lost to Joey Fatone.
Yeah, that's when you know. Yeah, that's
Ocho Cinco. Ocho Cinco didn't even, he was that's Mr. Right. Dancer. He didn't even win that season.
I remember, like, he had these black pants on, high waist, and he was all over. He was really good.
He killed it. That was a pretty strong year. That was Nicole Scherzinger, the Pussycat Dolls, who won that.
Yeah, true.
And now she's also on reality shows. She's judging, is she American Got Talent too, I think, for
I think
a while.
So. She's been judging on a few different shows. She's a great dancer as well.
Who do you think did better? Kurt Warner or Michael Irvin? Who placed higher?
Irvin for the flair.
Kurt Warner.
Dang it! Kurt, it's always Kurt. It always is. I don't know why I go away from that. It's just always, you just think, but who else? Anybody else interesting in this year's or previous classes alumni?
Floyd Mayweather, Sugar Ray Leonard.
I'm kind
of
surprised.
Chuck Liddell of the UFC, the fighter.
Yeah,
he didn't
know
do very
Chuck
well.
Liddell.
He was 11th place.
I'm
he
just
finished
surprised.
Behind Irvin.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm surprised they're allowing, well, I guess not allowing Carole Baskin, but.
Carole Baskin,
I mean,
why?
Because it's Tiger King. Who? What other pop cultural person have we all gravitated to as a society in 2020? There's not that many shared moments, but Carole Baskin is one of those, right?
Yeah,
Tiger King.
No,
and you
no
can't get
about
the
it.
Actual Tiger King guy because isn't he in deep legal trouble considering? Right. And shouldn't technically she be? I don't know. I didn't see the show. Don't really care. All I know is that she's married. Now she's not. We don't know where he is.
There's that.
We're going to find out if she can salsa.
Right. So, Dancing with the Stars continuing its trend of putting athletes on the stage.
And why.
We'll see how they do. I mean, it's, you know, Vernon Davis and Oakley, they're probably long shots. I don't know what the props are right now. I don't know if William Hill or BetMGM have props on Dancing with the Stars. But
I will put all my money on Jesse Metcalf. All of my money, all of my hope, the soul. Everything to Jesse Metcalf.
Yeah, the rest of these guys, I don't know.
God.
Half these other people.
John
are.
Tucker Must Die is an American classic if you haven't seen that film yet.
Really?
Highly
you
encouraged.
Think so?
God, it's so good. So good.
Who's the co-star in that one?
Brittany
I can't remember her
Snow
name.
Is in it. You have
Christina Milian.
Yeah.
Wasn't she in that
no.
one?
Or
she
I was think it's Ashanti, isn't it?
Ashanti. You're right. It's
yeah.
It. Yeah.
I literally watched it probably 3 or 4 weeks ago. I think it's on Hulu. You should check it out. I have a couple of DVDs on that as well.
I'm Netflixing some stuff right now.
Oh, you're busy. I'm telling you, we're missing out. John Tucker Must Die. He takes his shirt off multiple times,
Between trying to look for Dwayne Wade at tonight's basketball game and the virtual fans, of which he is, by the way.
Somebody is literally like, just like, let's see if this is someone of note.
Right.
Really great vision.
It's the truth. All right.
LASIK.
Up next, a little taste of Zach Gelb. We do have Dodgers baseball this afternoon. 5:30 pregame. 6:40 first pitch between the Cubic Zirconia backs and your Dodgers. Walker Buehler off the IR. He will start tonight. So we have that. See if they can make it two in a row. For Mark Bonilla, making things sound nice, she is Lindsey Brown. I am Paul Eihander. And that is a wrap on the Playmakers for your Wednesday.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.